Hello, friends, fans, and members of the Schmodown community. As always, we are here to break down everything that's happening in the Schmodown and make sure that you know all the news, all the matches, and everything else that's going on in the entire wide world of online movie trivia. I am joined today by two of my wonderful co-hosts. That's right, CB is here producing the heck out of this episode. Ryan is ready to share everything that's on his mind. And me, well, I've got a few words to share with you as well. I am the Elk. And today we're talking Bancroft versus Wiggins, and of course, the big matchup in our main event. That's right, Mike the Killer Kalinowski versus Paige Fribetti. It's going to be a heck of a show, and it was a heck of a show. Let's tell you what happened and everything that we think about it as we discuss what's going on this week in the Schmodown. And we are here. I am thrilled as always because a lot of great things are going on today. I've gotten a little bit of attention on Twitter, which you know I love. We've got two of my favorite co-hosts. And yes, the Elk is ruling the roost as Keith is out for the day. The terrible threesome is going to be myself. It's Chris Barnes, our super producer. Chris, always great to have you here with us. And Ryan, he's, and I quote, Permison, he's the man, he is the myth, he is the legend, he is everything he believes he is, and possibly slightly less. Ryan Permison, always a pleasure to be here with you as well. Guys, it's been a great week of the Schmodown. Did you guys like the episode this week?
I mean, yeah. Why not? Why wouldn't I like it? I mean, I'm wearing my, you know, my one of my most prized possessions here for this show. Absolutely. You kidding me? Hashtag Ooh. Schmodown. I mean, yeah, it's always a good week to chime in about Schmodown stuff, especially when my boys going out there and competing in matches.
Yes, indeed. Chris Barnes, it's so great. We don't always get the chance to share a little bit of camera time with you. And the question on everybody's mind is, at some point today, we might have to make predictions. Will you be making a prediction or will you be staying right where you are up on top of that fence, buddy?
Let me see. What's the match we're going to be predicting? Yeah, I think I can quite comfortably jump off the fence and make a prediction on this one, but we'll get to that a bit later on.
He's teasing you for later in the episode, folks. I am thrilled to be back, of course, here with all of you, the fellow Schmodown fans that love this sport, that love everything that goes into it. So let's go ahead and get into it and talk about everything that's going on, guys. First and foremost, we're going to talk a little bit of news. You know how this goes. I'm going to tell you a few things. I'm going to ask for your opinions. And Ryan, you will definitely have one. Chris, don't strain yourself, buddy, but we'll see what comes out there as well. All right, guys. So let's talk first about, how about Bateman and Andrew Guy, Team Action, one of the legendary teams in the Schmodown, truly two titans in the industry. And we've got some words of wisdom from Andrew Guy going out to his buddy, Ben Bateman. He's saying, Ben, you take it so seriously. Ben, you've got to just have a good time, go out there, and be the champion that you know you are. He's saying to his buddy, Ben Bateman, you don't have to be the bad guy. You don't have to be the guy who takes control every single time. And you can be a little nice to other people. I, obviously, have you been listening to this show previously? I'm disgusted by this attitude by Andrew Guy, despite all of his other talents. He's telling somebody, one of the greats in the game, to take away that killer instinct, but it seems to be working as we see at the end of this show that Bateman goes out and congratulates one of his fellow competitors. I can't deal with this sort of thing. Ryan, I mean, what do you think of this advice from Andrew Guy? Is he giving Bateman the right idea or moving him down the wrong path?
You know, it's funny because I'm just so used to these guys being nasty, arrogant, pompous to whoever they come across. And now Andrew is saying, listen, we've done the same shtick for X amount of years. I think it's time to turn over some new leaves and do something else. And I'm thinking, well, I mean, yeah, Ben Bateman could do that. But then again, if the wheel's not broken, why fix it? Although the thing that does get on my nerves to no end, Ben, you always wait to the count of zero to give your freaking answer. Just give the answer if you know it. That's the only thing I'm tired of. But and your giant 6-foot whiteboard. Stop using that, man. It's too much.
To be fair, Ryan, that's a bit rich with as a Corruption fan with Mike using all his repeats.
We'll get to that again later on. That's a different story. But
yeah,
but no, is he leading down a dark path? I mean, probably not. I don't know. I mean, I think it could work out for Ben. I mean, you know, Ben's done well up to this point, you know, and his little mini reunion with Team Action in the last couple of weeks has been fun. So I don't know. It could go either way. But listen, he's been the Boss Baby for a reason. I wish him the best of luck. If you want to keep some of the nastiness in your fiber, you're being there, Ben. That's fine. If you want to turn over a new page or read a new book or whatever it is, hey, do that too. I guess I'm pulling a CB on this. I may be on the fence here. This may work. It may not. I don't know.
That's not well. Well,
that's going to put the pressure on CB. If we got Ryan not even venturing an opinion, then you are on the hook, buddy. This is your chance to actually say something and be the first to issue that feeling, that emotion. What do you feel about a kinder, gentler Ben Bateman? Is success in his future, or is this just one more step from falling away from the title picture for Ben Bateman?
I don't know, it is tough, but I think Ryan kind of talked himself out of it earlier because he said, you know, if it's not broken, why fix it? And Ben's found quite a lot of success being as he is. But at the same time, would a nicer Ben Bateman, would he benefit from it? That's the question we've got to ask himself, really. Is he going to benefit from being nicer? Yes, it's nice to have, but maybe there's a balance to be found. I think he's a player. He needs to have that kind of mean, nasty streak in there just to, you know, in his back pocket for when he needs to put some pressure on an opponent. Just bring out some of those barbs and go bring the old Ben Bateman back. But maybe he could just be generally nicer in general. Just keep the nastiness for when he's actually in the match. So I think I'm on the fence. Yeah. I really thought I was going to be on the fence this week.
As always, it's left up to me to have a strong opinion in order to help you guys out there determine exactly the way that you should be thinking, because, hey, that's what I do, folks. You are welcome. We have got Ben Bateman stepping out and saying, I'm going to just have fun. I'm going to be nice to my potential opponents, future, past. I'm going to go out and let my game speak for itself. And Ben Bateman, you do have one of the strongest games in the Schmodown. You are for a lot of reasons, the guy we talk about when we say this is the way you need to study in the Schmodown. You pioneered a lot of the moves that got great champions where they are today, and you faced off against some of the best. So obviously a lot of respect for you, Ben Bateman. Just can't stand seeing you act this way. You have such power, such gravitas, and such a good, mean streak. It would be a shame not to use it. Throw your opponents off. Throw everything you have at them. I don't know if I'm going to like this new Ben Bateman very much at all. But, hey, guys, you know what? It does look comfy up there. And with as talented as Ben Bateman is, I think maybe I'll just go ahead and join you. Hop on the fence. That's right, folks. Who knows what's going to happen with Ben Bateman? I disapprove, but that doesn't mean success isn't in the future. I'm only right most of the time, guys. So Ben Bateman is turning over that new leaf, and I personally, I hate it. I can't stand it. I don't want to see it. Ben Bateman, please just be the evil SOB that you know that you can be out there. I would be thrilled to see you come back and do it. But, hey, if he still uses those repeats, messes with his opponents a little, could still be very successful. Who knows? We will see moving forward. But as we talk about good guys and bad guys, maybe a little reversal happening, guys, as we see a post-credit scene towards the end of this episode, and we see Shannon Barney talking to Roxy Stryer. And if I told you which of those two people was being the bad guy, I think it might be surprising if it were 6 months ago. But right now, it looks like Roxy Stryer with a cadre of new talent under her belt, some of the best in the Schmodown. She is, you know, feeling herself, getting a little bit of attitude, and I'm talking about that in the good way, as Shannon Barney, of all people, steps up and says, hey, you can't take it too seriously. It's not the biggest thing in the world. Sometimes you just got to go out there and have fun. It seems like all sorts of people we're used to being those delightfully bad folks are turning over that new leaf. Any thoughts as far as Roxy and Shannon, Chris?
Well, you said, I suppose this kind of goes back to the Bateman thing, you know. Shannon seems to have turned over a new leaf, going good. We think, you know, is that the right thing for Corruption to do? Maybe later on in the show might prove that, you know what, maybe it is. You know, the performances still seem to still be there. So as far as Roxy goes, you know, she, I cannot blame her. You know, she's had a few tough years managing the Stars, it's been rough couple of years. And I think this time she seems like she's just kind of had enough. She's like, that's it. I'm going to go and get my boys. I'm getting Chandru, Nick Harley. Well, we'll talk about this a bit as well with upsetting old Jacoby. And she's got Ethan Irwin. And she's putting a hell of a team together. And they all seem to have a new, slightly new attitude rather than, well, apart from Chandru, who is the same old Chandru. But, you know, if it works for Roxy, that's great. And if turning a bit more nicer works for Shannon and Corruption, then so be it.
Well, you said it. Roxy is teaming up with some very big talent in her faction right now. I mean, you have to look at what she's done so far. You have Chandru, a former Inner Geekdom champion who's gone toe-to-toe with the best in that league. You've got Ethan Irwin, who is one of the undisputed greats when it comes to points earned in matches. This is a guy who's going to get the question right almost all the time, and it doesn't matter what the category is. And, of course, a favorite around here, the return of the real attitude of Nick Harley, former FCL champion, another real amazing trivia mind, now teaming up with Ethan Irwin, potential future tag team champions. I say, Roxy, you're out there. You've got that new attitude. I'll take mine, and I'll have some of yours as well. It looks like that's the attitude she took when forming this faction, and that's the attitude she's going to have moving forward. Ryan, what do you think of the Stars?
Clearly Roxy is pulling an old school WWE DTA, don't trust anyone, you know, like Stone Cold Steve Austin, Vince McMahon, the corporation, the ministry, and all that jazz from back in the 90s, brother. Yeah. So she's pulling a page from the Vinnie Mac WWE playbook, while Shannon, what's going on? There is a great disturbance in the force here. Something is clearly not right. Shannon, what are you doing? What the frack are you doing? This is not the queen of the schmodown that I have come to know and love for the last X amount of years. And Kalinowski, you two, the king and queen of the schmodown, rightfully so, you need to sit down and have a powwow. You need a meeting, because something is going on with Shannon that I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't understand. Why? Why are you going to? The wheel has never really been broken on Corruption, so why are you trying to fix it, Shannon? Why, Shannon? Why? I'd be that fan in the audience on a Monday Night Raw holding up the sign. Why, Shannon? Why? Because I don't get it. I don't get it. Giving advice to listen, Roxy's going to, you know, ruin her career the way she, you know, the way she can do it. So do whatever you want. But don't give Roxy advice. Let her do her own. Let her worry about herself. Let her worry about her own factions. They're going to fall flat anyway. But you need to be more concerned about Corruption here, pal. Shannon, what are you doing? I don't understand. Seriously, you and Mike and me, if you want to invite me to this Zoom call, put us in a room. We're going to figure this out. We're going to bring you back to the true side of Corruption and keep this ball rolling, because you're trying to change something. You're trying to fix a wheel that doesn't need to be fixed. So I don't know what's going on with my queen, Shannon, but hey, listen, Roxy, keep going to the dark side. Do your own thing. Clearly, you're ripping off the WWE 90s storylines, but that's okay. Listen, everybody is... have every storyline or character that's been portrayed in any form of media has been inspired by characters and formulas that have come before them. So it's okay, Roxy. But at the same time, worry about yourself. Don't listen to Shannon. Shannon, focus on your faction. Focus on winning Mikey 3 belts. Hashtag Mikey 3 belts. It's going to happen. It's going to happen this season. And that's it. So I don't know what's going on here, Elk, but it's concerning me very much. And we need to fix this before it gets any worse. Mike, I know you're watching this. Talk to the queen. Figure it out. Let's get back on the dark side of the NWO Corruption. Yeah. And then we'll be just fine.
Well, a lot on offer there from Ryan. I think I heard a dig at a couple different factions. Nick Harley, if you're watching, I still love you, brother. Please make sure you come back no matter what is said about the potential future successes. Also, a very generous offer. Will Corruption take up the offer and call on the professional counseling services of one Ryan Purbison? That will, of course, have to wait for the news in the future, because that's not going to happen this week. But a lot did happen this week. And now we're going to talk about those matches in a little more detail. Chris is going to take us through as we break down everything that happened between Jacoby Bancroft and Clee Wiggins. And, of course, our main event, The Killer versus the Boston Badass.
Tell you what, Ryan's been gone 1 week and he's going into corruption now, and just never thought I'd see the day. Never thought I'd see the day. So let's look at this week in the Schmodown. We started off again with Matt Riley catching up with Jacoby following their interactions last week. Riley takes Jacoby to see Winston, who's hanging out with his swag member, Clee Wiggins, and they basically set up the opening night of the match, gets Jacoby the match he wanted. Ryan, you wasn't obviously with us last week, so what are your thoughts on this new alliance between what seems like Master Yodi and his new Padawan, Jacoby?
Every Luke Skywalker needs a Yoda. So in this case, it works, right? I mean, he was partially named after Yoda because someone mispronounced his nickname and called him Yodi. So that's the reason we got Mark Yodi Riley in the studio. He's kind of pulling a Miyagi, you know, piecing out on those leaves or whatever. He's like, after what? After. So it's, you know, he's trying to pull a Miyagi or something from Cobra Kai, you know, not Cobra Kai, because he's no longer with us, Pat Morita, RIP. But you get what I'm saying. So
yeah.
Interesting dynamic. And listen, Jacoby, listen, he's a friend of ours, and I respect him. I wish him the best of luck in his Schmodown career. Jacoby, you know, you're left with no factions, no managers, no tag team partners, nothing. And then Yodi's just chillaxing in his garden, looking at his itty-bitty little leaves that I don't know how you can trim your – I don't get it. I really don't get it. But for this situation, it works. So, yeah, I think it's an interesting pairing, you know. Old school meets new school. Young Buck teams up with Old Lion. We've seen it happen before. It's come to great success for some teams. It hasn't worked out for other teams, but this is a season 9 reboot. So anything is possible.
Yeah, Andrew, do you echo that? Do you like the now we've seen a bit more of this little potential pairing of Yodi and Jacoby?
I mean, Yodi is, of course, a longtime fixture of the Schmodown. Right from the beginning, we knew him. He was the champ. He was the guy who had that belt before it all began, and he is a great, great player. And Jacoby Bancroft, I mean, you have to feel bad for the guy. It's hilarious what Slick Nick Harley did to him, but you kind of have to feel bad for him. I mean, he dumps him. He leaves him behind all on his own. He even strings him along on the way to getting there. I don't know. If I'm Jacoby, I'm feeling pretty bad. But then he hooks up with Mark Riley, who is admittedly a legend. The two of them seem to be vibing pretty well. I've got to say, despite whether I would like or not like their attitudes, they do seem to be matching up. But, of course, there's still the matchup to talk about, and we will see if there's some success there. How well is Jacoby going to be playing underneath Mark Riley? And will it continue to be a partnership after this matchup? Or will Riley, wait for it, leave him behind and move on to somebody else? I don't know about that one. We'd have to look and see in the future what's going to happen. I expect we will see more of these two together for a little while, perhaps even somebody else coming along and joining up. Mark Riley maybe making his own team or mini faction. I could see that being a real possibility.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, so let's move on. This is Jacoby's first match since Despicable Nick left him behind. So up against Clee Wiggins. First round, Clee missed two questions in round one, saying that Guy Pearce didn't appear in Alien Covenant. Sorry. The correct answer being Patrick Wilson. And she didn't know or remember that Tony Collette appeared in the Sixth Sense, Fright Night, Shaft and Hereditary. Jacoby had a great first round, going perfect, only missing the bonus question, which was which Adam McKay film features Catherine Hahn, Seth Rogen, Adam Scott, and Richard Jenkins in supporting roles. Jacoby answered Anchorman. It was, of course, Step Brothers, the classic. So, but anyway, end of first round, Jacoby's 10-8 in the lead. So we go into round two. Clee spins Jennifer Aniston, adding a total of 4 points to her score with a good use of multiple choice from questions 3 to 5. Jacoby steals 1 point from a possible 3 drop from Clee, leaving Clee with a 11-12 lead heading into Jacoby's spin, which he went up there, spun the wheel, got 2,000, stuck with it. He went down to multiple choice on questions 1 and 4 and missed them both, giving up 2 point steals to Clee. This results in 5 total points for Jacoby in the second round, but with the steals, Clee claws back slightly with 6 total points, but it's still a 2 point in Jacoby's favour heading into round 3. This is where all just kind of changed. Klee, perfect round three, forced Jacoby to answer his 5-point question, which was, you know, in the category of Eastwood's, but credit as Scott Reeves, not Eastwood. Scott Eastwood made his debut in the war film directed by his father. He did the right thing, used two of his repeats. I know Andrew would be proud of him for that one. He actually used them, but unfortunately still couldn't pull the answer. Went with Sands of Iwo Jima, I believe. Correct answer was Flags of Our Fathers. Klee Wiggins wins. Close match, but a good performance from both. Any thoughts, guys, Andrew, on this match in general?
Yeah, as you already pointed out, Chris, I think this was a tough match for both competitors. Everything after round number one, not exactly the easiest for them. They dig in round number two, and they use those, say it with me, folks, JTEs, they use those multiple choice as they move forward. Both competitors playing strategically quite well, but a lot of points given up. That's the thing. That second round can change the entire shape of the game. But in this case, it left them fairly even, which means all the pressure is on those big round three questions. That's where Klee is going to end up capitalizing against Jacoby. I mean, I love this matchup for the play of it all. I love the fact that these guys did take their time. They did try to get the answers that they could. Well played. Well done by both of them. But really, in the end, Klee Wiggins going to come out. She's going to take that victory. I think she maintained her composure the whole way through. And Jacoby, I mean, I think he's playing well, and I like the pairing of him and Riley. But you guys have to admit, he's been a little twitchy since Nick did a number on him. Perhaps it's, I don't know, post-traumatic stress. Perhaps he's just feeling a little lonely out there, because Riley looks like a great mentor when it comes to movie trivia, but maybe not the guy who's hanging out with you a lot when you're not near the matches. So is Jacoby going to be able to recover from this? Quite possibly he did play well. Klee Wiggins, well-performed, well-scouted, and well-earned victory.
Yes, fantastic performance by Klee. But Jacoby, I think he definitely showed enough here that he's got a decent future, even without Despicable Nick with him. So, Ryan, what say you on this match? How do you think it went for both?
Yeah, I would say, you know, Klee Wiggins is joining forces with, you know, Winston Marshall with swag now, so she's no longer a member of the NWO of corruption. Yeah, but that's all right. Listen, decisions had to be made. People had to go to other factions. It's a reboot. Everybody's changing up sides. It's fine. Klee Wiggins, good to see you again. Both competitors showed some moxie. They did pretty good in this match. They showed some skills. They proved that they belong under the lights in front of 20,000 people, with 20,000 watching at home. So I'm happy about that. Jacoby, I really wanted you to win. And letters from Iwo Jima, dude, I was yelling at you that it was Flags of Our Fathers. I was screaming through the screen. I was like, dude, this is not that. To me, I don't think it's that hard of a question. But then again, you know, all questions are subjective. But this is another thing I want to bring up. In this matchup, to me, a number of these questions that were presented to both competitors, not just Jacoby, these were championship-level questions, in my opinion. These question writers are not messing around at all. The Jennifer Aniston got deep. Jacoby's category, oh, God. That thing went deep, boy. So you – I don't know, Jacoby. I probably would have stuck with either another category or swing or whatever it was. But, man, oh, those are some deep cuts. Deep cuts. Yeah. They're not messing around, dude. They are not messing around. So, in my opinion, I feel like this match was more of a championship-level match in terms of the questions. I don't know if these competitors were necessarily ready for all that, but then again, they did score a lot of points. Well, not a lot, but they did score enough points in the game, respectively. So, listen, my hat's off to the question writers. That's number one. Number two, Jacoby, you'll get him next time, brother. And hopefully next time I will be with you telepathically, and you can hear me just sending those messages to you, like, you got this, just go with it, bro, you got this, you know. And then Klee Wiggins, she's getting better, she's moving up in the ranks. So good stuff to both competitors, good stuff to both managers. Riley and Jacoby's a bit of a new twist on what season 9 is happening with, so that should be interesting. Klee and Winston, yeah, they got a good camaraderie going. I mean, they're drinking, you know, 60 gallons worth of Granny's peach tea from Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice. I don't know why you would drink that stuff, but hey, whatever gets you through the day there, Winston. Yeah, but good match. Look forward to seeing what happens. But dude, the singles division is really heating up in terms of the questions. Am I right, gentlemen?
I think that's a result of, you know, as the seasons keep going on, you know, we're getting more and more seasons. The questions are getting deeper and deeper and deeper. That's the only thing I can see the results are. Like, these question writers have got to go deeper into these some of these movies to get the questions that haven't been kind of used for. Just get more matches we have as well. And Ryan, you touched on something there actually with Klee. Obviously, she's left Corruption. She's now with Swag. Andrew, maybe this might just be that better fit that she may have needed to push her up to that next level. Maybe having Winston as a manager over Shannon, maybe it might just gel a bit better.
I mean, that is a possibility. I love Shannon Barney's style when she managed Corruption. She is one of the greats when it comes to the managers in the Schmodown for a reason. She knows how to get to success. She knows how to cultivate some great players. Certainly knows how to handle herself in a draft. So if Klee Wiggins is leaving the team, is that a knock on her? Somebody goes away and then immediately gets a win? I don't think so. It is not necessarily my favorite place for Klee to land immediately when I hear about Winston Marshall and Swag, but it is a good fit. I cannot deny these two clearly work well together. They clearly have some sort of connection that makes them well suited to one another. And today, at least, it's going to result in a victory for Klee Wiggins. I guess I got to say, unless Ryan is correct and that Granny's sweet tea comes from the same factory as the Granny's peach tea, then it looks like Winston Marshall's making the right managing decisions for Klee Wiggins. And if the former is true, then you need to run, Klee. Run as fast as you can.
Absolutely. Okay, so I'll finally just say congratulations to Klee on her victory and also to Jacoby for his first match since post Nick Harley and the Stars. He did very well. You know, took it right to the end, and as long as he's got Riley by my side, I think he's going to do well going forward, honestly. But let's move on to the big one, the main event. Mike Kalinowski versus Paige Frobetti. So we had a short scene outside with Mike and Shannon bumping into the fan favourites with Paige was there prior to the match. It's a bit of trash talk between them. Ugh. Andrew, I know you like that. It's weird that most of the trash talk seemed to be coming from the fan favorites and not from Corruption, but you know, it's what it is, I suppose, with the way this crazy reboot season is.
Yeah, no, it's been amazing to see this team coming together. Very interesting personalities. I've got to say, if you were just marking based on personality and factions in the Schmodown, maybe right now the fan favorites are the densest that we've ever seen. Oh, yeah. Because you've got Paige Frobetti, who is not afraid to go toe-to-toe, even in this matchup with Mike Kalinowski. She's trading barbs while she's answering questions against one of the best. You've got JTE, a legend, a warrior, a man who doesn't know how to spell. And you've got Paul Preston, who is, of course, a underrated gem in the Schmodown, not found a lot of that super success in the past couple of seasons. Obviously had a rough road in some of his matchups. Will this be where he finally finds the victory he's looking for? And led by, hey, not a guy who's lacking in personality himself, Adam Witt. Future manager of the year. You know, we've sat down and talked with him here on this program, and Adam Witt always has something to say. But in the end, this cutscene to me was just, it was delightful. You got a lot of people really showcasing their talents as personalities. You've got a lot of people really getting into it with their opponents, not afraid to step up and say, we're going to take the victories. Have that confidence in advance. And most importantly, after watching this interview, I got myself a jacket with my name on the back of it. And now I will never forget.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's just plow through this matchup, and then we can let Ryan talk all he wants about his boy KO at the end. Right. So round one, almost perfect round for Paige, to be fair. Only missing the one question, which was, which actor doesn't appear in Fantastic Beasts? I believe she said Zoe Kravitz from the options, but the correct answer was John Voight. KO does go perfect, including his bonus question, despite some questionable impressions along the way. I mean, they're better than any impressions I can do, but still.
And if I can just jump in, super quick on round one, Chris, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
but I was real worried for KO during one of the questions in round one when he is answering an actor question about River Phoenix and says, Henry Jones Jr. himself, River Phoenix. I love you, KO, and I love a little banter, but man, there was a real chance that somebody calls that a wrong answer. I might have even seen a challenge coming from the other side, so wanted to make note.
Yeah, actually, that's a very good point. Actually, I completely forgot about that. Yeah, well, when he said it, I was like, okay, all right, yeah.
I get it. Early scenes of Last Crusade. That's his name, Henry Jones Jr.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll carry on into round two. Paige, another fantastic round. Perfect again. So I think she just dropped to the multiple choice once after she span the Jennifer Connelly category, I believe. Multiple choice once, which is great. Mike goes up, spins Keanu Reeves. He drops to multiple choice and misses the question. In Point Break, Johnny Utah play football for what university? It was Paige got it correct, stole with can't talk.
Ohio State, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, mate. Ohio State, and steals the 2 points from KO. So as Keith would say, if he were here, Mike fails to hold his throw. It's a darts reference, we believe. And we head into round three. Paige now in the lead, 19-18. So squeaky bum time for KO and for Ryan here. But as we go into round three, Paige misses the 2 point question straight away, unfortunately. Now, is this a harsh one or not? She answers the Last Action Hero instead of Last Action Hero. Ryan, harsh or not? Trying to be impartial because obviously you're a KO fan.
And that's never going to stop, by the way. Just so for those of you who may be watching and listening to this, I'm never going to stop being a Mike KO fan. But needless to say, no, I would not have accepted it. It is not the correct title. It is Last Action Hero. If you say the, I don't care. It is incorrect. So I would say, Paige, you were on the right track, but you said one too many words there, young lady. It's Last Action Hero, not the. So that's the answer.
Yeah. It's probably more unfortunate than harsh then, really, because like you said, it was the wrong answer at the end of the day. She was just unfortunate. She added the on the front of it, you know. Andrew, do you want anything to say about that?
Yeah, no, I have a lot of thoughts, but really it boils down to one thing for me in the end. You know, I've talked before about your JTE rules. I've talked about all the strategies you can employ in a matchup. Well, here we're talking about a challenge, potentially. And the deeper you get into a matchup, you always have to remember that challenge is starting to lose some value, because if you don't have a chance to use it, then it goes away completely in your pocket. You don't ever get to take it out and say, hey, here's my chance. And in round number three, even on the first question, is a great time to use your challenge. Very few questions left with any opportunity. I don't know if it goes their way. And I actually pretty much agree across the board with Ryan here on this one. I think the Last Action Hero is a clear rule. I think it was laid out. That being said, I really would have loved to see Adam Witt go to bat for his competitor a little bit more, take the challenge, even if you don't think you're going to lose. Fight like you deserve it. Give them every reason you can come up with, because some days that challenge will fall in your favor. And in a match this tight against a competitor on the level of Mike the Killer Kalinowski, you do not leave anything to chance. You don't leave anything on the table. Good idea to challenge. I want to see that follow through. I want to always see you take your chances, because the odds of a challenge in the last two questions, almost non-existent, and you had a shot right there. Good or bad, always go for the gold.
Yeah. Whether it gets upheld or not, I suppose there's always that slight chance it might, you know, rock your opponent a bit, just distract them a little bit from what's going on for their next few questions. But as things went on, Mike ended up with a perfect round three as well, making us wait, but mind, like Andrew loves, by using all of his repeats on the final question. But ultimately got the job done and defeated Paige in what was a close, hard-fought match. And I think a lot closer than I remember Keith saying last week. He's normally pretty good with his predictions, but I think he said last week that KO was going to bowl right over Paige. And I think it's a lot closer than at least Keith kind of expected. But anyway, Ryan, KO, he's showing, you know, it's business as usual for corruption, really, despite, you know, some of the tough things to be going on lately, the loss of Adam Collins from the faction, the potential that Chance and himself may end up having to break up if they do not win their match against Shazam. So, you know, he doesn't seem to be affecting him at all. He's plowed through this match and it's the same old KO.
Absolutely. That last question, oh my gosh, that is, that horror question, that was a five-pointer for sure, because there's been 80,000 of those movies in that franchise known as Saw, but I've only seen the first one because it gave me nightmares and I never watched it ever again. And by the way, torture porn is not a great genre for film. I'm just saying, Saw. But needless to say, even though that was James Wan's directorial debut, and James Wan is a great director in all regards when it comes to the horror genre, nothing, no offense, James, but Saw, it doesn't do it for me. Too creepy. But that was a five-pointer. He needed to use his JT. He needed those repeat because I could you can see it on in his you can see it in his eye. He's trying to figure it out. He's crossing all the dots. What franchises line up with this or this actress? What character is this? There are so many horror franchises. It's ridiculous. So the fact that he was able to, because I had to ask my smart device what that answer was. I had no freaking clue. Like Shawnee Smith, what is that? Was that Poltergeist? Is that Texas Chainsaw? Like what is that? And then when my smart device told me who it was, like, ooh, I hope Mike comes up with that. I hope he does. And sure enough, my man comes through, gets the victory. Corruption is safe for another day. It's safe for another year. But I will say this, though. Paige Ferbetti, I don't know much about you, other than the fact that you're from Boston, okay? That's all I know. She played way better than I thought she was going to play. Way better. Paige, I'm going to give credit where credit is due. You gave my faction and my crew a run for their money. I'm not going to lie. She gave everyone in that studio a run for their money. Paige, you got skills, young lady. You got skills. And even though your faction is a few rings short of Saturn, and your manager thinks that this is an episode of the Peanuts show with Charlie Brown and his friends, you're going places. I don't know if you're with the right faction, though, but you are going to go places as a singles competitor. I think, seriously, like if she keeps this up, not this year because this is Mikey Three Belts here, but maybe next year or 2 years from now, Paige, I could see you with a singles title. I could see it because she really put the pedal to the metal in this matchup. I'm telling you, they don't call her the Boston Badass for nothing. I'm going to give credit where credit is due. Paige, you have my respect. That's not an easy thing to get from me. But I respect you. And I look forward to seeing where you go throughout the course of the season. You're not going to win the singles title because it's Mikey Three Belt, so that's not happening. But I look forward to seeing what you're doing because she played very well here, Chris. She played very well. But I'm just happy that Mike got the win because it's always about the killer. So congratulations to Kalinowski on pulling that five-pointer at the very end. And congratulations to Paige Ferbetti. My gosh, this woman is going places, man. Seriously, this was a very close-knit con. This is one of the closest matches, and we're just getting started this season in season 9 of the Movie Trivia Showdown. Am I right, folks?
Absolutely. And I think the more matches Paige gets under her belt, I think it's just the better she'll get. And you know, I get a lot of stick from you guys for sitting on the fence every week. And last week I sat on the fence with this match, and I think I planted myself firmly in the correct place because this was a close match at the end, and it was went to the wire. Could have gone either way. It went one way, but I stayed on my fence and I'm happy with it. So, Andrew, great future for Paige in the Schmodown. Bit more experience. She'll be up there.
Well. Chris Barnes, you're talking a lot about the matchup, and I hear a lot about what Keith said about the match last week. I'm hearing a lot about what you said about the match last week, saying you're claiming victory from on the fence because of how close a match it was. Can you remind me, as the guy who's handling the match breakdowns for this week, all these things you're talking about when it comes to this matchup, what was my prediction for this matchup last week?
I don't know. It's not important. It doesn't matter.
Well, you know, if he doesn't want to tell you, folks, I will repeat it myself. Paige Ferbetti goes the limit. She goes against Mike Kalinowski and pushes him to the end of the matchup, but Mike is too good, and he takes the victory. That's right. 100% accuracy, off the fence, call it like I see it, and get it right every time. This was the matchup I told you were going to see, and this is a great matchup to prove me right and to show the Schmodown fans what both of these people can do. Is Mike Kalinowski the best to ever play the game? There's an argument. He is one of the very few people who's dominated across such a wide field of competition. Never quite got there in singles. We've talked about that top echelon, hard to break into, and Mike's been right there for a long time when he does compete. I can't wait to see what he'll do with this victory moving forward. But the most important thing of all, two competitors played well. Everybody got to enjoy themselves. And even more important than the most important thing of all, the elk was right again.
Okay, yeah, let's move on from that. All right, right, let's have a look at what's going on next week in the FCL, and I'll hand over to Ryan after this short little clip.
Ladies and gentlemen, at the conclusion of this past week's episode of Friday Night Titans, Roxy Stryer came out with her faction, the Stars, and said, listen, things are going to change, things are about to happen, and that's going to consist of a new team that I have between Slick Nick Harley and Mr. Irwin, I guess? I don't know. It's Ethan Irwin, in my opinion. I can't call you Mr. Unless I see you in person, I'm not calling you Mr. Irwin. It's Ethan Irwin, okay, pal? But listen, they come out, they say, listen, things are going to change. We've made a challenge. We're challenging Eric the Z-Man Zipper and Adam Gertler to a tag team matchup for next week's episode of Friday Night Titans. So it's going to go down between a new team known as The Appointment of Nick Harley and Ethan Irwin going up against Adam Gertler and Eric Z-Man Zipper in the team's division. Now, this is going to be an interesting matchup. This is going to be an interesting pairing. First of all, Roxy, she's got a – I'll say it, Roxy. You have some good competitors behind you. I'm not going to lie. But Adam Gertler, who's the – what's his nickname? The Cooking Kraken, something like that, the Kitchen Kraken from the FCL. I miss you, Adam. I wish you had more matches and had more opportunities to compete. I know you have a busy schedule and the FCL is in a bit of a transitional phase right now. But Eric Z-Man Zipper, meh, he's all right. Not the greatest MTS player I've ever seen in the world, but he's all right. He's fine. But when you put the Kitchen Kraken known as Gertler and Z-Man Zippa together, this is my thing about Season 9 of the MTS. Expect the unexpected. So I'm very curious to see how Gertler and Zipper go up against The Appointment. We're wearing suits now, okay? I'm curious to see how this is going to go. My money for me right now, I know I'm probably going against the grain here. People are probably going to call me crazy on Twitter and the interwebs. I'm going with Gertler and Zipper to win this thing. I think they're going to make a heck of a team's debut. I think they're going to make a statement, and they're going to put the MTS on notice that says, hey, listen, just because we're not series regulars on this program like other competitors are, doesn't mean we can't come in here under these big bright lights in this big city, in this big studio, in front of 20,000 screaming fans in the MTS arena and win matches. I think they can do it. If they concentrate, put their little thingamajigs, their comedy stuff aside and focus on the questions and the categories, I really think Gertler and Zipper could be an interesting pairing. Now, The Appointment obviously are the favorite in this, but upsets have happened in the MTS. Andrew Guy has defeated Dan Merle. Paige Fabretti has defeated Ben the Boss Bateman. We have seen upsets happen in this company, in this sport. I would not be surprised if another one happens next week on Friday Night Titans. But gentlemen of the jury, or should I say of this week in the showdown, to be more appropriate for our producers in the backstage area as well as CB. Andrew, who do you think is going to win this?
Well, there's a lot to talk about when it comes to this matchup because we've seen a lot out of Eric Zipper, and we know the level that he competes at, where some of his strengths are. We've seen some Adam Gertler, but it's been a while. We have not seen a lot of him lately. And we've got Ethan Irwin and Nick Harley. And guys, this is a matchup where I could talk endlessly about the kinds of strategies they might employ, what sort of questions they're looking for. But in the end, it's not a hard decision for me because The Appointment is going to provide an appointment for disappointment to the first opponent that they put under the bus as they roll on over them and move forward into success. You have a former FCL champion and you have one of the greats, one of the I will get it right almost every time players like a William Bibiani, like a Drew McWeeny. This is the man himself. Sorry for any disrespect to you, and please have your secretary see if my appointment is set up for later, Mr. Irwin. I'd love to sit down and chat with you sometime. Irwin, Nick Harley are going to dominate this matchup. This is not a knock on Gertler and Zipper, but I think this is one of those cases where you have great competitors versus not quite that great competitors. I'm not saying they're bad. I'm not saying they don't know what they're talking about, but you're talking about championship level competition from The Appointment, and that's going to decide the day.
Could be. We shall see. Chris, we got two competitors who may show a bit of ring rust between Zipper and Gertler because, as we said before, The Appointment, the people in the Stars, they've had a lot more matches than these other guys. But then again, we've seen crazier things have happened in this company, crazier things have happened in this sport of entertainment. So I got to ask, Do you think Roxy is being overconfident and not calling out the big dogs instead of picking on, you know, the little guys and not picking on someone on their own size and going after Gurler and Zipper when they could have been going after some of the bigger heavy hitters within the team's division?
You are crazy, Ryan, by the way. Your prediction earlier, yeah, is crazy.
It's okay. I like to root for the underdogs.
You know, but also you're right with what you just said, to be fair. Irwin and Harley, despicable, Nick. That's it now. He's always going to be despicable for me.
Using that word. I don't think it despicable means what you Nick. Think it means.
Exactly.
They are going to be way more than enough for Gertler and Zipper. Yeah, Gertler and Zipper, they're good players. Irwin's proved himself to be one of the greatest of all time. Harley proved himself, well, he's first FCL champion, only losing the belt to the Flouse. Yeah. Or, I mean, giving it to the Flouse, whatever. But, but you know, I just think these guys, even in Zipper and Gertler's best day, Irwin and Harley's going to be, it's just going to be too much for them. And you know what? Yeah, I get it. It's a new team. So Roxy's challenged the team of Gertler and Zipper, but really they should be thinking a bit bigger than that. And honestly, I don't see why they're not going straight into that number one contender match with Corruption to see who goes on to face Shazam, rather than having Corruption getting it straight away and potentially breaking up. If I was Mike, I'll be going to Christian or Shannon, go to Christian saying, look at them team over there. Yeah, let's play them. Let's get rid of this we break up clause you've kind of got for us. Me and Chance will play Irwin and Harley. Then the winner can go and face Shazam. But, you know, maybe they just want to go and get that title shot straight away. We'll see. We don't know what the decision is yet, but we'll see. But no, there's only one way this match is going, you know. So there was too many people on my fence earlier, and now I'm getting off of it.
G Willikers. Well, you know what? There's only one way to find out. Got to tune into Friday Night Titans. Yeah. And we'll talk more about it on next week's episode of This Week in the Schmodown. But before I just sold out our great outro, CB, where can the good people of the earth find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at ChrisBarnes_UK and Instagram, actually. And if you just want to message the show about anything, at This Week FCL, that'll be me as well. So, Andrew, what about you?
Of course, guys, you can find me online at KelkAndrew on Twitter. That's K-E-L-K, Andrew, where I talk very little and say very few things other than to promote this show. But every now and then I'll pop up and have something to say. I'm guessing soon I will be announcing that I recently joined the Flying Cow on Movie Battles to call a matchup. I don't know if that one's dropped just yet, but hey, you should go ahead and check out his channel as well, because I'm going to be on there and you love a whole lot more of me.
Gee Willikers, I thought I was the busiest man in Hollywood, but apparently Andrew is trying to give me a run for my money. But I'll tell you what, peeps, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at RyanRPM5 and everything that I'm doing. Look at my Linktree, linktree.com/Ryan, and I quote, I got a million shows, a million projects, a lot of irons in the fire, and I'm going to continue to keep myself busy, because if you love what you do, it's not called work. But on the other hand, get ready, because next week is going to be one heck of an episode, because we're going to continue this train of Season 9's reboot of the MTS, because remember what I said, expect the unexpected. We'll catch you next week on This Week in the Schmodown.